Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We are in season three, and we have a great lineup. So excited about so many people, and especially the next guest that we have. Our former cover girl on the July issue, Vicky Teal, author, fashion designer, perfume creator of 14, 15 different perfumes. It might be more than that. Friends with Coco Chanel and Elizabeth Taylor, to name a few, and the inventor of the mini dress. Vicky Teal, welcome to the podcast.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci beaucoup. And thank you for mentioning the mini skirt.
You're welcome.
Yes, it was, I've known pretty much for the start of the mini skirt with my partner, Mia, and I'll explain. I was a student in Washington, D.C. in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and a cheerleader. And with that, I had a lot of power. And we were wearing skirts below the knee. And as a cheerleader, I wanted to have all the guys like me more. So I ended up creating skirts above my knee and then eventually to the mid-thigh. And everybody in my high school yearbook wrote, Vicky Teal, Elizabeth Taylor Teal, see you in Paris.
Can no you way. Imagine? That was prophetic. That was so prophetic.
Linda Rimmel, she wrote that.
What?
Because I had it already.
You had style. In...
I'd already told everybody I was going to do that.
Oh,
I'm going
okay.
to be a fashion designer in Paris.
Oh, okay. So.
And I want everybody
you
to
You manifested
know,
it, as they would say in today's world.
When you want something, go for it.
Mm-hmm. That's the theme of the day, apparently.
Okay.
Yes.
When you want something, go for it. Because right. I did and it worked.
Right. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So. From there, then you went to Parsons Fashion School of Design in New York City, and that's when you met your partner, Mia.
Yes. 1961, 62, the fall of that year, I went to school, and I was wearing a mini skirt, a bra, carrying my dog, a little tiny hairy dog, and I was wearing sunglasses and a jacket to cover the fact that my belly button was showing. The teachers all stared at me. I also came on my boyfriend's motorcycle.
Oh,
yeah.
Good optics.
I arrived in mid-Manhattan. Mm-hmm. My partner, future partner, she came in, and she was wearing a piece of fabric with strings and wrapped around herself. This is 1961 to 2. Everybody wore skirts below their knee. So the two of us sat opposite each other, staring at each other. And this is going to be in a movie, hopefully.
Yes,
and
we'll talk about that.
And the two of us and all the rest of the people in the table in the school were just in shock, and they felt that we belonged in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm.
So you were truly renegades
wild,
way back then. So
wild.
Everybody wasn't – so the hippie movement when everyone was donning, like, you know.
We started
you
it.
You started it.
I was
so right here, ladies and gentlemen, here we have
– voila. And not only that, but I decided to go – sing and to pass the hat for the gorgeous boys in Greenwich Village. Mm-hmm. And Bobby Zimmerman and Bobby Dylan. He was called Bobby Zimmerman then. All the different boys at the Café Wa, and they named me Peaches Latour.
Okay.
And I just glued feathers on my breasts.
Okay.
And sometimes leaves. And then I wore my little black mini skirt, which I'm going to show you.
Okay, okay.
And the boys made so much money.
Wow.
I passed the hat.
So
Peaches.
Was Dylan performing that? Or was
yes,
that even
he was
pre-
called Bobby Zimmerman.
Okay. What, yeah. In little nightclubs or something like that?
Café Wa.
Okay, okay.
On the
before
main
he was?
He was not somebody
he
yet.
Was not somebody yet.
Yeah.
So your life seemed to have taken, since you were very young, a trajectory toward being a magnet for movie stars, models, and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you made those opportunities happen, or do you think that your life was just literally destined to be the life that you had?
I think you make it. I started sewing when I was 12 years old. I started making money. I was a cheerleader, so I could have power, and the power I could turn into money. And so I started making a big full skirt, and I have a dress to show you that I made when I was 14 mm-hmm. that I'm still wearing today. So I discovered timeless fashion, and that's what I do.
Well, when you say power, so I was a cheerleader too.
Oh, cool.
And what does that mean when you say you had power? What did power did that give you?
Power makes that everybody in school, when you walk down the hall, doesn't stare at you with ugly faces and everything. They all look at you in awe.
Okay. So.
And then you can, I didn't even get good grades because I had to take a bus to other cities. So the boys in the team were on the bus with me, so I got to like boys in uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up having 5 years as a cheerleader, junior high and high.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the cheerleaders that were in the yearbooks and everything, we had high school reunions, every one of them married well, lived well, had fabulous lives. Mm-hmm. Of course, none of them went to Paris and became partners with Elizabeth Taylor.
Right. But okay, so let's circle back a teeny bit. So did you leave Parsons or did you get kicked out?
No, I didn't not get kicked out.
Okay.
The two or three of the teachers, especially the teachers who taught drawing, loved my work. And eventually, in that first year that I was there, everybody shortened their skirt until the mini was kind of almost being worn by my other friends.
Mm-hmm.
We started the mini skirt.
Mm-hmm.
It was not started in London. It was Mia and Vicky in New York City. And hopefully I'll be making a television series about it. And who won? Nobody wore long skirts. They all changed into miniskirts. Mm-hmm. So we won.
So when you would walk down the streets of New York in these outfits that no one had seen before, what kind of reactions would you get?
Got all the guys.
What about the women?
They stared at me, but I got all the guys. And eventually, when you get all the guys, you get the women too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why did you get kicked out?
I didn't get kicked out.
Oh, okay.
I did not get kicked out.
You left.
Actually, Sears Roebuck, head of Sears Roebuck came to the school to choose an employee in Sears to work for them to the junior division that they created, and they chose Mia Vicky.
Oh, that's how that happened.
We ended up with a huge amount of money and a driver, and the driver, we said, we're going to Paris, and he said, great, I'll give you a driver, I'll pay your hotel. And I worked for 15 years for Sears and created the junior division.
Oh, okay. That part, I did not know that piece of history.
No,
that is amazing. And did Mia get that gig
yes.
too? And did she stay doing that for 15 years as well?
No, she only stayed 4 or 5 years, and she left me in Paris and Elizabeth. The two of us ended up with a shop.
Okay.
I went to Paris, and I have the explanation of that, because when I first went to New York City with the mini skirt, and then I went to Paris, the French press went crazy. They put me on the cover of all the magazines, Mia and I. Mm-hmm. And then when we got back to America from Paris for Christmas to see our parents, they put me on the Johnny Carson show.
Can I see that? I'm going to put this up for if the TV camera can pick that up. Not sure if it will.
We graduated from school four months before this.
So Johnny Carson, what year was that?
We were on the
that?
Johnny Carson show, and I'm with my dog and smoking a cigarette wearing a miniskirt.
Back in the day, you can't smoke a cigarette now, but you can bring your dog.
Okay.
That is just unbelievable. What did some of your professors say, like when they knew you made it in Paris and after?
A wonderful story.
Okay.
Mia and I, we had couture shows then, and couture was a designer showed in their workrooms, and they put chairs up, gold chairs up on either side, and you would walk down the runway, and the models would go down the runway. We decided to take over nightclubs, and we had our fashion show in nightclubs
Good
with
idea.
The music and the strippers. There was a stripping club that we showed our clothes in, and we made so much press that the people who were making a movie in Paris saw Mia and I in a nightclub dancing with the miniskirts, and slowly the women would wear them, that they said, would you do the costumes for a movie? So we'd only left school in 5 months, and we were designing the costumes for a movie, What's New Pussycat?
Woody Allen's movie.
With Woody Allen.
Yep.
And Woody knew me from the village, and he knew I was Peaches. So he was very nice.
So he knew you, when you were in Paris, he said, oh, hi, Peaches.
Hey, Peaches is here. Oh, my God.
Okay.
So we did the
All
movie.
Right. This is Vicky and Mia on the July issue rocking their cool outfits from the 60s. Very
60.
Very, very, very cool.
When we did the movie of What's New Pussycat, at the same time Elizabeth Taylor was in the studio making in Billancourt studio outside Paris, she was making a movie with Richard. We went down the hallway, me and I walking, and Richard grabbed me. He didn't grab Mia because she's very tall. He grabbed me and pulled me into a dressing room. Mm-hmm. And I saw Richard Burton. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And he said, I want you to make a surprise dress. I want my wife to look like you.
Wow.
So I said,
what
okay.
What a compliment.
I know. So I made a mini dress, which I have to show you, the mini dress I made for Elizabeth, the first dress she ever wore that was a mini. And she never wore long skirts again.
Well, it's so teeny that she must have been so small.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that is a small dress.
She had just gone through divorce with Eddie Fisher. Okay. She had gone through a marriage with Richard. Yes, she was smaller than me, actually.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Oh, I know she was so beautiful. But, you know, when I see pictures of you with all of these movie stars and everything, you know, I have to tell you, which I didn't tell you before, you can hold your own with them. I mean, you looked like you belonged. You did not look like you were an outsider.
I did. I married Hollywood Ron.
The makeup artist,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. So. I married Hollywood Ron. I was his third wife of six wives, but okay. I was his favorite wife.
How do you know? Did he tell you that?
Yes, he did.
Great. Did he pass?
Is yes,
he still
he
alive?
Passed.
He passed. And did he pass married? Yes.
He was the makeup man of Elvis. So I got to meet Elvis.
What was Elvis like?
I walked over. He made me meet Elvis in the set studio. He was shooting a movie with Elvis when I met him. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you that in my entire life, the handsomest man I ever met since my birth was Elvis Presley.
Wow.
That
really?
Gorgeous.
That gorgeous.
And I couldn't even speak.
Really?
He's that gorgeous.
Okay. That's yeah. gorgeous then.
He was.
Because you can talk. And I mean that complimentary.
And I became friendly with Priscilla.
Oh, what was she like? She's a beauty.
Together. She is just not only beautiful, yeah. but super
Sweet.
Intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah. I always loved them.
She made a fortune out of Graceland, and mm-hmm. she looked after all her family, and mm-hmm. she's an amazing woman.
Right. Do you still have your apartment in Paris to
yes,
this
I
day?
Do.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. And I know you were there for about a month after this cover came out, right? And you
yes.
just got back about a month ago?
Yes.
And how is Paris now post-COVID? Is it back to normal?
Paris was never normal.
Is it still England? Not, is it still
England,
abnormal?
England, where I lived 7 years, I also lived in London and Paris. But England closes at 11 or 12. The pubs close.
Yeah.
Paris does not close.
Okay. That is so fun. So what was it like? Didn't you walk the runway and
yes,
at
okay,
a Paris?
The t-shirt.
Tell me that.
So me and fashion shows were very private in the ateliers of the couturier when we got there. The star couturier was Pierre Cardin. He was the first person who created licensing. Nobody had invented licensing until Cardin. And Mia started dating Louis Ferreau, who was across the street from Cardin. So we really got in Paris couture in 64, 65, 66. And we ended up understanding that they had fashion shows in their atelier, and we decided to have fashion shows in strip clubs. We felt that they're not little strip clubs. Everyone, the Moulin Rouge. Yeah. Everybody's heard of the Moulin Rouge. So we had a fashion show there. And then I had a fashion show in a hotel, and I took the runway down the main lobby of the hotel, and I put the teacher from Parsons, who told me I had no career, at the end of the runway. We flew her over from New York to sit at the end
Touché.
Of the runway. Voila.
Wow.
Voila.
That is a good
We one. Put her at the end that of the runway, and I had all the models wave at her when they went down there like this. And I wasn't angry because yeah. I think that...
You were in Paris walking runways. Why would you be angry?
I feel that this is important because I like to help people with my books and my advice in dressing rooms. I give advice to the six women. For 40, 50 years, I dress six women a day in a dressing room. Mm-hmm. And I give advice. And the important advice is turn everything in your favor. Mm-hmm. Do not accept bad things. If something bad happens, go, huh? And just turn it in your favor. And you know who taught me that? It was Elizabeth Taylor.
Really?
Yes, she really. I was that way in the beginning, but Elizabeth really taught me. Once I was making a movie and I said to her, this actress is so horrible to me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think she's going to have me kicked off the movie. And he said, who is it? And I told her the name. And she said, Vicky, it's a B actress. And whenever... We would go in jobs or things. She was very friendly with Princess Grace. Uh-huh. Elizabeth wanted to have her driver, Gaston Sands, who was a wonderful little Frenchman, sit next to Grace or Princess Margaret, or not Elizabeth, we never had Queen Elizabeth, but uh-huh. at her luncheons. And she would have Gaston, the driver, sit next to a princess. Why? Because she wanted everybody to learn to not be a B actress, to be regular, to be honest, to be kind to everybody. Mm-hmm. Don't be a snob. Mm. So Elizabeth would break down snobs. And yeah. every movie I ever made, yeah. all the dressing room women I dressed, all the wealthiest women on the planet, everybody, including the president's wives. I've done the Trump and the Biden wives, their dresses. I don't deal with snobs. Mm-hmm. I'm so normal and I'm so regular that I break them down to being regular.
Yeah.
But if anybody is a snob to you or stuck up, just remember they're a B actress.
Well, that's good advice. It's a good perspective, right?
It's Elizabeth.
Because maybe what that means when you net it down is that when you really have it and you're really confident, you don't have to be snobby.
You better
believe
it.
Maybe it's a lack of confidence that people are projecting that.
The greatest actresses of our time, I've met most of them. Mm-hmm. I've dressed everybody in my dressing rooms in Bergdorf Goodman, where I created the couture salon. That the more powerful, here's a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. I'm in Bergdorf, and a woman walks in, and she's wearing jeans, a T-shirt, an ugly little jacket. She's followed by two great big guys looking like thugs, you know, walking in. And all the salespeople who were working go hide. You know, they're going. And I looked at her, and the two men, I go, bodyguards, bodyguards. I walk over to her. Of course, she's the third richest woman in the world.
Oh, yeah. Is she American?
She's an American, and her husband owns gambling casinos all over. And he was just opening a casino in Hong Kong or China, and she needed a gown for the opening. But when you look up the richest people in the world, her husband, I think, is the second richest or third richest in America.
And you dressed her?
Of course I dressed her.
What did you put her in?
A gown. I make a gown.
Oh, you made it for her.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't off the
rack.
Gowns.
Okay. No. I basically make the gowns. I sketch it.
Yeah.
I sketch the gown, and then I measure them, and then I get them in their bra and panties, and I sit them down at a table, and I have them tell me everything about their lives, what they're doing, what the wedding is for. Mm-hmm. I try to, in a way to make them on one with me. Mm.
The creative process, the more open and collaborative, the better you can create.
Coco did this.
Okay.
If you wanted to meet Coco, now, by the way, Elizabeth and I are the only women who ever really was with Coco. Elizabeth took her to dinner a year before she died.
Okay.
And I have the dress that I'm going to show you that I wore to meet Coco.
Okay.
And Coco spent a night with me and Elizabeth holding her hands. Mm. She wanted to pass on messages to us. And what we should do with our lives.
And they were something about perfume.
Make perfume. Mm-hmm. Make your own money. Have nothing to do with it. And do not let anybody else ever tell you what to do. You do everything yourself. You don't have any man or anybody tell you what to do.
Okay. So that was for Elizabeth Taylor, that would have been diamonds, her perfume.
87, white diamonds.
White diamonds.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what the title is of it, but doesn't she hold you have it?
This is mine.
That's yours, right? And and you have how many different?
14 perfumes.
14, okay, that's good. I had remembered that correctly.
Yeah, I had 5 homes from 14 perfumes, thanks to Coco.
Talk about some of the names. Some of the names are just as beautiful as the perfumes.
Oh, Serene.
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 Okay, can I smell that?
How about the book, The Absolute Woman, La Femme Absolue?
Well, this is it's all about the dress.
All about the dress,
This I read on a long car ride to New England about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Didn't know you, of course.
Yeah.
The fact that I actually got to meet you this summer, and I'm like, my gosh, that is the book that I... And then it was in a car ride with my husband, and I go, this is a fascinating book. I said, do you want me to read it out loud? So I read it to him out loud, and then I put it down, and he's like, well, what happened next? I'm like, okay, so he actually wants me to keep reading it. So it was so fun. And so then when we met, so I had some history on you, the backstory on you. It's just such a joy and a privilege to actually meet you in person. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, which I don't think I touched on the last time we met, but so you're 80 years young, you're beautiful. How are you this healthy and this beautiful at 80 years old?
Okay, it's a big story, but Elizabeth and I were big fans of alcohol, huge fans.
Okay.
And we both had our favorite, which was Dom Perignon, pink champagne. And we had to have it pink, and we had to have it in crystal glasses.
Why not?
And that really was a part of my life that went on. I mean, constantly thinking like that, no, I can't put it in that. You know, it has to be in a crystal.
Oh, it had to be a certain note.
She had a chauffeur, and the chauffeur, Caston Sands, would have crystal glasses in the back of the Rolls Royce. So we would always have crystal glasses. I just loved champagne and wine in France. If you live in France, you just know all the great wines. Mm-hmm. And we went overboard. Mm-hmm. And eventually I had 6 car crashes. I had totaled 6 cars.
In Paris?
In Paris, I was in jail.
Okay, I do not know the story.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I was in jail, but they let me out right away because I knew the president of France. So I'm sorry, but it's the truth. So I ended up.
But why were you there? Because you were drinking?
Yeah, no, I hit the police car and hurt the policeman drunk.
Oh,
and they put me in jail.
That's not.
And I went back to America, and the people who manage Elizabeth and my friends and said I really need to stop drinking. And there was the Betty Ford Clinic, and we'd both go to the Betty Ford Clinic. And then they said, no, you can't put those two crazy girls together in the Betty Ford. Okay. So Elizabeth met her husband in the Betty Ford.
And which one?
Larry Fortensky.
Okay.
And I went to an ashram, and I meditate a lot, and I'd love to meditate. Uh-huh. And so that went along with not drinking.
Okay.
So I went to an ashram in upstate New York, and I meditated, and the higher powers all spoke to me and told me to stop drinking. And I did.
Good.
Stop drinking, and I haven't had alcohol since.
That's great.
Yeah. But had to replace that with something.
What'd you replace it with?
A young husband. A fishing boat captain. That's why I'm here.
That's great. Yeah. How did you meet him?
Well, after all this going on, somebody said that we needed to go to Key West, and I should party in Key West and relax, but don't drink. So I went to Key West, and I stayed with a famous writer, and she said, go down to the dock. You have all kinds of fun guys down there. And I went, and I found my husband.
Really?
Yeah. We looked at each other, and we've been together 37 years.
Wow.
Yeah, off and on, because we always have. I don't live here all the time, so right. It could be off and on. But yeah. I've been married with him for a long, long time. And
what does he think of your past as a fashion designer and all that? Does he think that's interesting, or does he like the
Vicky
Teal
2.0? Oh, he's always giving
2.0.
Me advice. Oh, tremendous okay. advice. Well, no, he's good. He has a high IQ,
okay.
And I was a cheerleader, so I didn't get an education.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a really great find, and we've been great friends ever mm-hmm. since. And we have a home together near Home Shopping Network, where I work. We have a home right in the village next to Home Shopping Network.
Which is where?
St. Pete.
Oh, is that where that is?
Yeah. So I was selling dresses at Bergdorf for about 40-some years. 40 years.
Talk about that a little bit more detail for everybody. So
yes.
You had a department, the Vicky Teal like
yes.
department in Bergdorf
yes.
for how many years?
40.
40. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so would you be there every day?
No. I live in Paris.
Okay. So
I created the couture department, which meant that a woman could come in, go into the dressing room, I'd measure them, and I'd make a gown. It was totally Chanel. That's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Coco, if you wanted to meet her, you could. You'd go to Paris, go to the Ritz, the street of the Ritz, across the street, the Chanel, and she measures you. You pay $10,000 first,
mm-hmm.
and then she measures you, mm-hmm. and then you get your dress. She sketches it. She measures you. She does everything one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Money first. You're going to buy a gown from mm-hmm. Coco,
mm-hmm.
pay first.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure, by the way, of meeting Coco.
When you went for lunch or something like that?
Dinner.
Dinner, okay.
And the see-through dress that I have, I have to show you. And Coco explained that to give a woman a dress, to make a gown for her, not only do you need to sketch it and measure it, which most designers don't do. If you want to be mm-hmm. a dress designer, mm-hmm. be like Coco, be like me, measure the woman, draw the dress, mm-hmm. have her approve of it, make mm-hmm. it for her, instead mm-hmm. of having your helper, your assistant
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
Coco did it. I do it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we measure everybody, and we make them their dresses. And Coco taught me everything. She taught me about feminine power. She never had anybody give her money until the very end when she passed away. The Wertheimers bought her brand. Her entire life, she managed everything herself.
Mm-hmm.
She did it all herself. She came from a dirt floor, and a peasant mm-hmm. in the south of France mm-hmm. to become the greatest designer that ever lived.
Mm-hmm. What was she like? Was she guarded? Well, you're
like
not.
Like this, when you meet her.
That's guarded, right?
Like this. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. She's sizing you up.
Like that, mm-hmm. yeah. And then you talk to her, and you talk mm-hmm. to her, and she's like this.
Okay, so then she likes you. Okay.
Just like, oh, such a wonderful.
Okay.
It's the greatest experience of my life was meeting Coco Chanel.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. So we are going to.
And Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth.
The three of us together having dinner.
Yeah, that's.
Was.
That's priceless.
Something that I hope will be in the movie that I make.
Okay, talk about the movie. So we'll bring the audience up to speed with, you've written this book all about the dress and another one.
Yes. Well, I never went to school correctly. As being a cheerleader, you're always traveling on the buses with the boys. I ended up not having much education with English and writing and all of that. But I wanted to write. I wanted to have a second career as fashion. I'd done it all my life. And who had lived what I lived. It was so much fun from the village and the boys and Paris and Coco and the fisherman, the cute fisherman at the dock, and Woody.
Dylan.
We had too much fun, and I should write about it. So I didn't know whether I could write or not. And this is a true story. Yeah. This is so true. Mm-hmm. I have a couple homes, and one of my homes is a log cabin upstate New York. Mm-hmm. I'm on the log cabin on the porch. I'm out there meditating. I'm going, you know, what should I do now? I'm living up here at the beautiful cabin. What do I do in this cabin? Should I paint? Because I paint. What should I do? And I said, I'm going to ask Elizabeth. She had just passed away. Elizabeth, what can I do here in the cabin? Can I write? I'm not educated. Can I write? And all of a sudden, this is a true story. It's in my book. A blue feather falls from the sky and lands at my feet, a blue ostrich feather. I had made a dress for her to wear to the amphar in pink ostrich feathers. And I had to glue each ostrich feather on with super glue, with glue. That was it. But why didn't you get me a pink one? She's falling from the sky. She sent me a blue one. Well, the sky is turquoise, of course. Mm-hmm. She got the feather up in the sky and sent it to me. So I'm looking at this feather, and I said, okay, I can write. And there's the book.
Well, I think it's very well written, and I thought so when I read it, 7 years ago. You really didn't have anyone help you write that, because it's really well done.
Yeah, no. Would you read my second book?
I didn't read your second book yet. No. What is the name of your second book?
The Absolute Woman, La Femme Absolute, The Absolute Woman.
And then you have a third book that you just told me about.
I'm just doing my third book now, which is 100 Women, which I wanted to show you.
Yes. And it's 100 women that you've met.
No, 100 women I've dressed.
Oh, that you've dressed. Okay,
yes,
well, of course.
Here's my 100 women. The book is 100 sketches of women and a story about each one.
Okay, so I'm just going to hold some of these up.
Elizabeth's on the cover, and this is the pink ostrich feather dress that I made for her.
So this is Kim Kardashian dress that you made.
She wore that to the Cannes Film Festival.
Okay.
Can you show this one?
Put it back, yeah, if you can see it.
This is my book of 100 women, and it's including the president's wives. I did the two president's wives. There's Priscilla.
Speaking of Priscilla Presley, which I think is so pretty. And where was that?
Priscilla, she wore gowns all the time.
Yeah, so pretty.
She would go out.
Whitney Houston, 1994.
Singing.
Whitney Houston. What color dress was this? Do you remember what color this was? I don't know.
I think it was green. Kelly Green.
Okay, great. Awesome.
She loved Kelly Green.
She did?
Yeah.
Did you meet her?
Yeah, of course.
Was she gorgeous?
Oh.
I mean, she seems so...
Slim. Mm. Slim.
And tall.
And tall and slim. Well, not that tall.
No,
5'7", 6'7", she was super slim. Mm-hmm. Super slim.
Wow.
Yeah, beautiful. But we know why.
Well, yeah, we won't go there right now.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, don't worry.
Pink champagne, Dom Perignon.
Yeah, that's as high as you go. It's pretty high. So present day, your sketches, and that you're
I'm selling my sketches now.
Yeah.
As an artist, I paint naive paintings, and I love that. So I paint all the places I've lived, and especially in the Keys. I love the blue, so I'll be painting here too now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
Your sketches are beautiful.
Yeah, I love to draw the designers today who are doing sketches of fashion are doing them very, very beautifully, like Saint Laurent with beautiful colors and everything. And I just do the one-liners. My favorite artist is Henri Matisse and Picasso, and they make one-liners. Mm-hmm. So I make the one-liner on the drawing, and we're selling them at the gallery here in Grayton Beach at the Studio Gallery.
The Studio Gallery.
And they're going to also have my 80th birthday party. Oh. Now, how I look and act like this at 80, I have to tell you that.
That was a long answer to get back to here.
Time. Yeah. Being a cheerleader is a wonderful way to maintain your body. But most of my cheerleader girlfriends, they ended up not following my diet. And my diet is a wonderful diet that I got from the Chinese doctor in New York, Dr. George Wong. He's a cancer doctor. And as my friends in my 20s and 30s started to get bits of cancer, I found Dr. Wong through Bergdorf. One of the clients in Bergdorf Goodman that I made dresses for told me he was the star cancer doctor. And he told me the most important thing, which is in all my books, and there's 5 chapters on Dr. Wong's diet. I have nothing, no Botox, nothing, zero Botox, zero anything done on my body.
You look great.
Okay. How? 5 to 7 red, purple, and blue fruits and vegetables a day. Grapes especially, and I freeze my grapes in the purple. I don't get green ones because you want to eat purple, blue, and red. All that strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, everything you can eat in those colors, beets, and that kills cancer. That kills disease. Then I don't eat meat. I just eat fish. We're in Florida. We're eating lots of good fish. And I eat French food, so I'm eating French croissant and not American bread. Like Wonder Bread, I eat a croissant. The croissant has a wonderful bread to it. And I eat my own eggs. I have 50 chickens on the farm, and I eat my own eggs all the time, and I put them in a croissant. But my diet is everything to me. I don't go to bed early. Of course, I had no alcohol since I hit the policeman, you know, went to jail. I have no alcohol. I have no alcohol, no pills, no nothing.
Yeah, that's great.
Just eating the most wonderful fresh fruit and food. Now, my drink, I drink every single day French coffee. I bring it over from Paris. I'd eat carte noire, French coffee. You can buy it on the internet, carte noire. And you buy a 4 or 5 pack. I don't put sugar in it. I don't put milk in it. I just have the carte noire. And I think it gives me a long life. I'm 80. I've never been sick a day in my life.
That is just a blessing of epic proportions.
Yeah. So it is your diet. It is the red and purple foods. And just put green, dark purple grapes in your freezer and munch on them all the time, maybe 4 or 5 times a day. Cancer cannot fight the skin of a dark purple grape.
Interesting.
The Chinese know that. Yes. So that Chinese doctor in New York, he's the head cancer doctor in New York, Dr. George
Wong. Good tip. Definitely a good tip. So tell us a little bit about how it came about for the story of your life with you and Mia
making
ready.
A movie.
What is it called?
Yeah. Mia Vicky.
Okay. Yeah.
The Yay Yay Girls.
Okay, right. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
and
the Yay Yay Girls.
Who came up with the idea?
Me.
Did someone? You did.
Of course.
And then you pitched it to somebody?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about that story.
In New York, I give lectures in fashion schools at FIT, Parsons. I go back and stand on stage there and talk. I do different museum lectures, and they have fashion shows when I give the lecture. I love helping people and giving advice. And it's one of my jobs. I call it a job to help other people. Life, by the way, is not about yourself. Life is about helping other people and being happy all the time, because that makes me happy, helping and making women gorgeous and then, you know, wearing the best dress at the wedding and all of that. Yeah. So when I'm talking and giving advice, and I've been having all this practice for all these years, I decided that I had such an unusual life, because everybody would go, no, that's not true, no. I said, I better write not only a book, but I better write the story and make everyone watches Netflix and all that. So I decided to write
the
story. Yeah, and I made 24 episodes. And the book, the thing starts out with me arriving on the motorcycle at Parsons with the dog and the mini skirt
Love
and the
it.
Bare belly button and going up to the school where all these fancy women are in dresses mid-thigh. Can you imagine? That was Dior.
Amazing.
Dior did that. In the 50s, he went lower. We were below the knee and the Katharine Hepburn period. And then in the mid-50s, Dior decides to make this big full skirt with crinolines and go down to the mid-knee. And that was the look.
The opposite
My
of what
mother was just never stopped walking around the house with this giant skirt and crinoline sticking out that I had to go and show nothing, you know, just go up to here, get my sewing machine out and make the little black mini, you know.
The renegade trailblazer that you are.
But the 50s was a time also of a war, the reaction after a war. The 60s was what happened in the 60s. Birth control pill, the birth control pill. Oh, my God. You know, we could have all our boyfriends. We could just be with everybody, you know, and have all the fun.
And that fostered the miniskirt, I guess, or less clothing.
When
is that what you're saying?
When I made the miniskirt and I wore my little black, which I have to show you, the little black miniskirt, and I wore it around, I got to
that
sleep.
Is so
I
teeny.
Got the boyfriend in the village. I got the singer, the folk singers. And I decided to make the folk singers gorgeous, and I created the leather pant for the folk singers. All the boys in the village that sang the guitars wore my leather pants. So I got to make them leather pants and measure them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. So the last time we talked for your interview for the magazine, you were pitching it. It was sort of underway, but then the writers and actors strike.
Yeah. Now I'm back. I'm going to LA. Okay. I'm going to be traveling around. I will guarantee you that by spring you'll be hearing who's doing it and who's making it.
Who do you want to play you? You must have thought about it.
Yeah.
Who?
Well, I fell in love. Debbie Reynolds was a friend. She, uh-huh. My husband was her makeup man, mm-hmm. Hollywood Ron, mm-hmm. and she and Elizabeth made up at the end. And she's got a daughter that's very interesting and looks kind of like me.
Really?
Yeah, Debbie Reynolds' daughter.
What's her name? Do I know her?
I don't know. Yeah, Debbie Reynolds' daughter.
But is she acting?
Yeah, she's been acting a little bit, but she's also getting older. And I was young to start. This is about me at 16, 17, so it's pretty hard, to do that. But yeah. I love Debbie Reynolds' daughter. And the fact that Elizabeth and Debbie, and this is for people too, you know, my husband had 6 wives. Mm-hmm. And when he died, I was friends with all of them. Mm-hmm. And I wanted us to go together to L.A. and have I called us the Ron's Wives Club, mm-hmm. and get together and throw his ashes over the cliffs of the Pacific, because he was a surfer. Mm-hmm. But his daughter wouldn't let me do it. The mm-hmm. daughter from wife number 2. Mm-hmm. I was wife 3. He mm-hmm. had 6. Mm-hmm. And one, we're not sure. Somebody in England who was a singer, a pop singer. I think he married her. Mm-hmm. I was the longest. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to bury him correctly, you mm-hmm. know. So ladies, when you have a husband and he's married to other people and he has children with other people, be their best friends. Mm. Be all friendly. You know, don't make enemies with anybody that you shared, you know, a man with. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something about that. All these mm-hmm. people that are fighting all the time and not friendly and mm-hmm. everything. I think friendship leads to happiness. It mm-hmm. leads to the man being happy that mm-hmm. all the wives are friendly. Mm-hmm. So the wife number 6, she had all our furniture from our home in France. And she had it in her house and she didn't like it. So wife number 6 sends me back all my furniture from my home in Paris that I had with him in the beginning.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's being friendly mm-hmm. with, you know, mm-hmm. the wives and all of that mm-hmm. and not being angry at anybody you were married to. Mm-hmm. Being friendly is important. Elizabeth taught me that. She had 8 husbands mm-hmm. and she was friendly with everybody. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. That's some good advice.
Yeah.
You're kind of a kid at heart, you know. You're very youthful, right? Your spirit is youthful, and we had talked about that before too. One thing that I wanted to ask you in this world that we're in right now of, you know, youth is just like so sought after. Like with you being 80 and you still in the game and doing so many different things, I think you're like the poster child for like ageism and like just like continuing to just do whatever you want no matter what age. What do you think about that?
Well, I've got to tell you that too many people have come up to me and said, you've got to become an influencer.
Uh-huh.
So now I hired a girl about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
She's filming me Thursdays and Fridays of every week, and we're going to be talking just like we're
good.
Talking.
And I saw those on yeah. Instagram, and
yeah.
I was thinking
start.
It's very influencer-like.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to be doing that.
Well, good.
I also have a thing which I wanted everybody to know. I did this, and it worked. We got a lot of people. The lady who drove me here, I don't drive because mm-hmm. I totaled 6 cars. Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
Yeah. The lady who drove me here and her sister we're all in the late 70s, and we're called the Fabulous Grandmas. And mm-hmm. we have a club now called the Fabulous Grandmas, and mm-hmm. we went to a couple of events, different ladies' parties. And one lady said, okay, I'm going to be a fabulous grandma and start it in Hawaii. So all around the country mm-hmm. now, we're going to be hoping that women will become the fabulous grandmas.
That's awesome.
And go to different events. You go to a city, you choose like, this next time we're going to go to, what's a bit, Op. We're going to go, it's a fun name. We're going to mm-hmm. go to Op. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in the cafe, being photographed, mm-hmm. wearing cute outfits. Mm-hmm. And then we go and we be filmed and we're fabulous grandmas.
Love it. Love it. Well, on that note,
yeah,
everybody, just stay tuned for Vicki Teal. And this podcast has been amazing and a treat. And we could talk 4 days. But I thank you for everything.
That's my pleasure.
For everything that you've shared, for your insights and your wisdom. And I hope you all enjoyed it, everybody. V-Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul with the amazing Vicki Teal. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.